This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
I'm going to say, well, I mean, we're season screwed now.
Yeah, but now I got Justin Herbert. We'll be fine.
And so one of these guys, one of these people could be the person that with a lot to prove. And I think the entire list has a lot to prove because they're people that are that other people are kind of like, okay, what are they going to do when they run? What are they going to do when they throw? And those questions become big time questions for these players. And Kevin, I think you know a lot of these players. Okay. So I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on what more they actually have to show off. The first one, quarterback Utah State, Jordan Love.
Yeah, and Jordan Love is, like, I know he won't go as high in the draft, but Jordan Love probably. Jordan Love reminds me a lot of Carson Wentz, just in terms of, like, a somewhat meteoric rise. I know he might have been a little bit better known, but I feel like Carson Wentz, I mean, people were kicking him around like, oh, yeah, solid third-round pick, and then, oh, yeah, he could be a great second-round pick, might eke his way into the first round. Now, bam, second pick. And so I don't envision the same thing for Jordan Love, but he's a guy that for the longest time I felt like was not really discussed in the top of the quarterback hierarchy. And now all of a sudden people are like, well, I mean, he's definitely a top four quarterback. And I've heard some other people say, oh, he's definitely a top two quarterback. And I feel like any day now somebody's going to go, oh, you should buck the trends and pick him number one. Like, you're going to see a mock draft that throws him out there and they're like, I'm just telling you he's the best. And so he's really moved up. But if you want to solidify his spot.
Like how Tannehill and Bortles moved up?
Yeah.
I believe Dane Brugler, before the season started for college football, said he is kind of a Patrick Mahomes starter kit.
Yes.
And then that's what somebody's going to reference, and they're going to go, nobody would have thought you should have taken Pat Mahomes number one, but wouldn't we all do that now? So someone will come out with a draft that says, not necessarily like this is going to happen, but this is what should happen.
He's 6'4", 225, and I think one of the things people fell in love with is, much like Carson Wentz, his downfield passing is really nice. And in today's NFL, you can throw a deep ball, it matters so much more, right? Because if you can connect on a deep pass, it's great. But he threw 17 picks in like a football bowl subdivision high, right?
I will be curious to see how people think that translates with like maybe better personnel around, because that was one of the things that you heard about. Was it Josh Allen? And people were like, yeah, his numbers don't look that great. And people are like, well, just wait until he gets better personnel. People will excuse away whatever if they believe in the person.
I do think if we're specifically on Jordan Love, the best thing for him is to get drafted by a team who does the exact same thing the Chiefs do to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes slinging it around at Texas Tech.
So the Cowboys.
I wonder if Patrick Mahomes.
Because that's what McCarthy's going to want to do. Right.
Oh, okay. Jordan Love needs to sit for 1 year and learn about the game of football from where he's coming from and some of the stats you're giving. Not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. There's probably only going to be one Patrick Mahomes by the time we get to be done with this, and he's going to be in that category of the greatest of all time.
Who's better at his sport, Pat Mahomes or Luka?
It's close. I'm not answering quickly because I don't think there's a quick answer to that right now.
That big sigh answered that question for me. I like that.
It's a tough one right now, because by the time their careers are over, as long as they stay healthy, they're going to both be considered greats of the game.
From the 817, he's 97.4% almost a first rounder, Kevin.
So there you go. See, there you go.
Another person who
and
has
the hoses are working good or
at the ballpark.
Oh, my gosh, Mike.
The flushers.
Okay, that's yes.
Not the ladies out there.
All right. the running back, A.J. Dillon, out of Boston College. And
do they have projections on these people at all? Because
let me go get a mock draft.
Here's
for you.
The no. Weigh-ins might be his biggest deal, Kevin, because he would be the heaviest pure running back in the NFL, tipping the scales.
He's like 250, right?
At 250 pounds.
Yep. And the
still
thing is,
40 pounds lighter than Zion Williamson.
Okay, relax. Zion is like 6'6 or 6'7. This guy is, I'm pretty sure he's like 6 flat, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the issue that people have had. And you even heard the story that came out yesterday. I was like, well, is that really a story? I think we all knew that, is the Jets thought that Le'Veon Bell put on weight, and that's why he wasn't explosive anymore. So I could see people having the same concerns about Dylan.
He also only has 21 career catches, and in today's NFL, you have to be both. If you're going to be in this game, you have to be. Look at what Tony Pollard is. Tony Pollard is the future at running back.
Okay, you say that, but in the next 3 weeks, we're about to maybe get a guy who's going to get paid more than Ezekiel Elliott and Travis Henry, who just runs the football.
Derrick Henry.
I'd be really shocked about that.
I don't think Tennessee's going to give him that much money.
I was thinking about $2,000.
I don't think that Derrick Henry's going to give him that much money. And you know what? That might be that transition that Broadus and I have talked about, because what are a lot of teams going to have to do is people try to copycat what Mahomes and the Chiefs are doing. They're going to say, we're going to go less linebackers, maybe even less defensive linemen, more secondary players. And so they're going to start trying to get smaller in those areas. Well, if teams do that, then Derrick Henry's the model. So you just got to figure out what I want to do with my team. If I'm building a team, I want it to be adaptable to every possible scenario. So I got to look at my schedule each year and say, what kind of defense am I playing against? And figure out how to beat them that week. And you know what? Some of those guys that are on the roster early in the year, because the first three games we play this kind of defense, might not be there at the end of the year. That's why Rex Burkhead, you know, works so well for, you know, every other week or so against a different team, because he's the matchup.
Yeah.
And so that's what Bill Belichick does. I might not need a guy this week because I'm trying to get through the season to win a Super Bowl. Zach Moss, running back at Utah. He has a very violent running style.
Utah's a heavy player in this.
5'10", 222-pound running back. But he has a meniscus injury that cut short his 2018 season.
Well, and Broadus has always told us, like, the most important thing at the combine is the medicals. And not that that is, like, still lingering, but you know people are going to have questions. So his might be more a factor of how do your medicals look as opposed to, like, what is your 40 time, et cetera. So I could see that. Fun fact, did you know that there was a year that it happened in the history of the world where Utah had the number one NFL draft pick and NBA draft pick in the same year?
So what? Alex Smith.
And do you know the other one?
Son of a gun. It's not Keith Van Horn. Nope. He was second, and that was way back when.
Yeah, it was in the 90s.
Utah. Oh, Bogut.
Yeah. Andrew Bogut. Yep. That's a thing that happened. Utah in the same year was the premier place to get people that kind of underachieve.
How do we even live in this world? You know, like when stuff like that happens.
I've been told we only got 10 more years.
Like, is every year just they're like, hey, let's twist and see what can happen this year?
Yeah.
KJ Hamler out of Penn State, 5'9, 175 pounds. Maybe one of the smaller, slightest receivers in the NFL. He would be, but he's kind of, people keep trying to compare him to Tyreek Hill. But he had a lot of struggles with drops, and Tyreek Hill didn't have that.
But does he have as many off-the-field struggles? Or
I have not seen that.
Okay, so I can't imagine anyone has as many off-the-field struggles as Tyreek Hill.
Here's a name that I know just recently came up real big, Juwan Jennings, wide receiver at Tennessee. And I think it was Jeff Kavanaugh asked Choppy, why did you not tell me that this guy was great? Because he was watching film on him the other night. He's 6'3", 208 pounds.
Wow, he's 6'3"?
Yeah, and he's going to have, I guess he has a big social media tirade that he went on, so we might want to check into that. Because, hey, man, they're watching everything right now. But he proved it, he had a strong Senior Bowl week, and I think that's something that really mattered there. But he's got to show that he can create separation as a big slot wide receiver.
Oh, yes. Oh, I remember this guy. Oh, absolutely. Sorry. I remember we did this story like when we were doing a Sunday show because he went off on them about the 2017 season.
Oh,
and yeah. And he got dismissed from the team and he just went off on them. And on Instagram, I think it was at the time. I totally remember this.
Also, I know you got to see this guy a little bit, Colin Johnson from Texas, the wide receiver.
Yeah, and okay, I'm curious again what the projections are for this. And, you know, this kind of might depend on like how much you believe in the Longhorns quarterback system. I think it was, you know, pretty solid and they were able to put up some numbers offensively. So, you know, maybe Colin Johnson is somebody that you take a look at.
Yeah, is he 6'6"?
I believe that is
correct. 6'6", 220 pounds. That's a jump ball guy right there. But he only had, what, 38 catches for 559 yards.
And he's for whatever reason, people get dinged for this. He stayed all four of his years. He didn't start like all the time, but he started most of the time. And in terms of like his history of Texas wide receivers, and I don't know if you think like again and again and again, Texas wide receivers are dominant, but he's in the top 10, or he's like fringe top 10 for most of theirs. He might have been better served coming out the year before. Like, he might have been better served coming out last year as opposed to this year.
Most 4- and 5-star recruits are better served not to go to University of Texas for football.
Oh, wow.
I still can't believe that Jonathan Gray didn't become the greatest player of all time.
They don't get better.
They don't know how to use them, or
I have no clue. And it's been under Jackson, different coaches. Yeah. It's not just this coach, even though I think that they have the wrong coach there and need to change coaches. But it's just really weird how Texas is always winning recruiting battles for the most part, and they get all these great kids from Texas and this region, and then they end up not being. We're not talking about Texas kids in the first round, right? Once again, University of Texas, that gets all the four, not all of them, but they get quite a few. They never take anybody. Like, go to LSU, go to Oklahoma. If you're a 5-star recruit from the state of Texas, I'd love for you to stay in the state of Texas. But, man, it just goes to show, if you do go to Texas, they don't up you to the level that you're supposed to maybe be at. At 17 and 18, what they're projecting you to be, you sign with UT, you definitely will not hit that projection.
There you go.
Sorry, I'm not even an A&M guy. I know this is making Kevin smile over there, but I'm just saying, it's just really weird. I want UT to actually be good in football. I'm not a UT fan. I'm not a UT hater. I'm not a Texas A&M fan or hater. I'd like for them to both be awesome at football. It'd be awesome for our state. But it's really weird how UT can take all of these quality players and make them all worse.
The two examples that I just used, Jonathan Gray was the greatest running back maybe in the history of high school football in any state. He floundered there. Jackson Jeffcoat was the best defensive player locally I saw outside of maybe Miles Garrett, and he did nothing.
Somebody said, do not touch Colin Johnson as a Longhorn fan. He's hurt every year and can't run routes. That's the reason, though, that this list is there. Not that we're trying to get these guys to be Cowboys players, but these guys all have something to prove when they get to the combine. And because every one of these guys is not the elite level draft pick. They just have something to prove here.
The thing about the injured people, though, that's going to be really tough, right? Like, hey, I made it through these 4 days or whatever, or you better sell it in your interviews that you're going to not get hurt. And then on the flip side, if you do get hurt, and just in the combine, they're going to be like, okay.
That dude's just always hurt.
Exactly. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, does the Rangers' new ballpark totally look like Minute Maid after all? And if so, does that make you sad? Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, we'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Guys, this is remarkable. The #CancelHouston tweets that are going out right now, and we'll get to those in just a minute. Because
do we get to keep NASA, or is it just the whole city is gone?
No, well, I mean, it sounds like they're just trying to cancel the Astros.
Oh, okay, great. I'm in on that.
But like Tosh.0, it looks like he's tweeting out a bunch of these.
Some of them are probably not safe to read on the air, I'm guessing.
Troy Hughes hates Houston. I've been to Houston multiple times and do not hate it. I think it's a nice city that is way too humid at times. Do you guys have a dislike of thinking that it's not a nice city?
I think the zoning rules are always kind of weird, where you could like theoretically put a strip club next to a daycare.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't have like a long-standing beef with them or anything.
Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, Houston, come on, we're DFW.
It does help out the strippers, though, that have kids.
Yeah, because
which is all of them.
You don't have to drive very far. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. But here's a suggestion. This is a nice light suggestion. Fielders can chuck the ball at Astros base runners to get them out, a la kickball. #CancelHouston.
Did you guys ever play wiffle ball as a kid, where you just didn't have enough players, so it was like you had four guys?
Oh, yeah.
So it was 2-on-2 baseball, and the only way to really get them out is while they were running, if you could peg them with the wiffle ball, they're
yes,
out.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do?
Yeah. Well, those are some suggestions, Kevin.
All right,
since MLB won't actually punish them,
sure.
Maybe some of these punishments can be instituted. We'll get to more of them. 877-881-1053. What punishments do you think would be worthy?
I'm gonna steal a punishment that you said like way back earlier in our show. This is one of my favorite things ever. Is you just flake instant potatoes across their entire field and then turn the sprinkler system on and watch potatoes just come off everywhere.
Here are a couple of them that I really like. The Astros must eat a whole bottle of Viagra before every game for 2 years.
No, I don't want to see that.
Nolan Ryan has to pitch the first three innings of every Astros game.
The Viagra thing is a sports-enhancing drug.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's not legal because... If you're not in that type of situation where you're thinking about what we think it works for, it helps if you have sore muscles to recover.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't.
Not for the women.
Paul LaDuca, who is now in media, right? Mm-hmm. I was having dinner with him one time, and he was like, "Oh yeah, the whole like Viagra thing." Like I was like, "Is it?" I don't know how it came up, but it was like, "It's really weird that Rafael Palmeiro at like 32 or 33 years old is doing Viagra commercials, right?" And he's like, well, you know, you use them because if you have a sore arm or sore muscles, that your blood flow is going to go to also where you're sore.
Oh.
So it actually helps you in recovery.
Huh.
See, there you go, Kevin.
Interesting.
Things you didn't know.
I did not know that.
There are a couple more that might intrigue you. All Astros players must wear the same child-size uniform as Altuve. batters have to wear shock collars, and opposing teams are allowed 10 zaps per inning.
Oh, man.
And then for the next 4 years, the Astros have to win every game by two. So they can never win a one-run game. They have to
win
all of them.
Man, I would really like that. And they're like, we go to the bottom of the 15th. Astros still lead 5-4, but this game carries on. Like, I would really enjoy that.
All right, so y'all send in your hashtag cancel Houston text right now, the AutoFlex Leasing fan text, 877-881-1053. But, Mike, you have a super hot take on the Rangers' new park.
You've set me up in a negative way here, Corey. But I would just like to say that the new ballpark, when you look at the pictures and the AstroTurf being laid, or whatever you want to call it, fake grass.
AstroTurf.
Yes. Is that it looks very similar to Minute Maid Park to me.
Which is the argument that people have made and since the first day those sketches came out.
They said it wouldn't. They said, look, we get it. It's a sketch. It's not going to look anything like that. But I would just like to say, as a Texas Ranger fan, if you could text into the AutoFlex Leasing fan text, if you've seen the pictures going around social media of the park being how many percentage points full, Corey?
Ugh, 94.
It was 94 as of yesterday, so it's got to be at least 94.1 today.
Oh, okay. God.
You'd think.
You'd think so.
Maybe 94.3.
Okay, I like that. That's fine. God.
Well, it looks...
When will it be 105.3% full, though?
When they win a World Series.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Whoa.
Back to you, Mike.
I think it looks very similar to Houston's park. It doesn't have the orange train out there.
Right.
I know it was a rendering and it's not supposed to look like that, I guess. But now as it's all coming together, it's going to be a beautiful park. It's going to have air conditioning. It's going to have the beautiful fake grass that we all wanted. But it's also going to look like the stadium 4 hours south from here.
From the 903, looks just like Minute Maid Park trash. From the 254, yeah, it looks exactly like Minute Maid. And from another 214, honestly, I think it looks really bad.
It's not even done. It's not even 100%
done,
though.
I mean, come on. It's pretty much done.
Have you been inside while the turf is all laid out and looked at it? I mean, the seats aren't even all in yet.
Yeah, I haven't even had a chance to see the Bahama Bucks.
Okay, I am not telling you that it looks just like Minute Maid Park or that you shouldn't like it. I'm saying for the people who have that opinion, it's not going to change from 94% to 100%. Now you're just changing like some logistical and final touches, but it's pretty much the way it's going to be.
I've always thought that from the outside it looks a little weird. You know, just the way that the outside structure looks. It doesn't look like it's symmetrical. Does that make sense? Like, it looks like it's a little...
Even as a player going to Arizona or going to Houston and you're going to those stadiums, like this doesn't look ballpark. When you have the retractable roof situation, you're like... It doesn't look like a baseball field's going to be in there. It looks more like you're going to have a soccer or football field, but it does work. Have you guys been to Houston and watched a game indoors?
Yes. Fun side fact about that is the last time I was at Minute Maid Park, though, was not to go to a game there.
Oh, man.
It was, yeah, this story's going to take a pretty hard left turn on you, Mike. Is we were down there for
some wrestling thing.
Oh, it's even worse than that. For some, it was for the Super Bowl. And I wandered down to Minute Maid, and there was like a to-do happening out in front of there. And it was the circumcision protesters. Yeah, and so just look them up. So they're all dressed in white, and they have red paint splattered all over them. Ugh. And they're there to stop circumcisions. And I went over to interview
all
them.
All Latin players have to get circumcised on the Astros.
Okay, I don't know if that's exactly. I don't think we should rule that out.
That's
but
when I lost control.
I went to go talk to them to get audio for the show.
I shouldn't have said that on the air. Take that out, please.
And then I found out that they weren't doing this as a bit. They were 100% saying it was body mutilation and cruel to children. And, like, they didn't want to do bits.
Yeah.
They just were, like, very serious about the facts. But they had people in their white jumpsuits with giant signs talking about circumcisions
Jeff
and everything.
Kavanaugh believes that. That's why he has extra skin. His parents were like, man, We did that to our first baby boy, so we're not going to do it to our second baby boy.
And, wow.
Yeah.
I'm looking at
the last time I was out there to answer your question. It's stuck.
I'm looking at both stadiums right now, and the board for the new Globe Life Field is up. It looks like it's up on the left-hand side, whereas the one at Minute Maid Park is hanging over the right field porch.
Right.
The right field porch is almost the same, though. That was one of the cool features we had was that home run porch out in right field, and it's pretty much the same thing. And then out in dead center field.
But look at the way it's cut. Look at the way the outfield's cut.
Yeah.
Like the way the wall is, right? Really short porch in left field, and then it, bam, shoot it out really quick out into the gap. So then we have a gap there that's wide, so we can have really cheap, horrible home runs hit. So right-handed hitters, hey, if you're going to be a free agent, we've created where you can break a bat when you're hitting, barely hit the ball, and it still goes out in left field. I look at it, and it's amazing how quick they could put together that beautiful, brand new of a stadium. But when I'm looking at it, and I'll get to see it inside on opening day.
You'll get to enjoy the air conditioning.
I want that. The character of going to Baltimore, coming here to the ballpark in Arlington,
Colorado.
Jacobs Field had character to it. The fields that were built in the mid-90s because they wanted the nostalgia of old baseball with the newness of what you could add with the technology. I feel like we're starting to get away from it and just start making the same stadium because we're like, hey, the Houston Stadium works, right? It works. Air conditioning works. It works for baseball games. Just make that stadium again 4 hours north.
And is that not, I mean, honestly, let's really talk about this. Is that not the driving force behind all of this? Like, the driving force was not that the Rangers needed a new ballpark for any aesthetic or practical purposes other than people didn't like that it was hot.
Right.
And that's all there is to it. So, and how many techs have you seen? Like, I know a lot of people are complaining that they think it might be Minute Maid Light or anything like that, but you're also seeing a decent amount of people are going, who cares? It's got air conditioning.
Yeah.
And if it drives up the revenue, do you really think the Rangers are going to be like, our stadium doesn't look nice, but we'll be fine?
No, you're right. And for the most part, what I did really like about going to the stadium a lot, the ballpark in Arlington, is / Globe Life Field, Globe Life Park, whichever one it was.
AmeriQuest.
I'm going to get that confused a zillion times with which one's park and which one's
field. I think
field.
It's field.
Okay, so the old one is park.
Yeah.
The new one's field.
So the old one, Globe Life Park, is a lot of people that wanted to see it, especially last year for the first time, because they knew it was going away. So they're like, you know, we've never been to Arlington and we wanted to go. Or when San Francisco fans were there for the World Series, and they're like, oh, man, this is great. San Francisco has one of the best ballparks in baseball. It's just beautiful. And people would come here and they would go to the Ranger games. Turn his mic off. And they would say, oh, man, I love this park. It's great. And you'd hear that in, at least when I was done playing baseball and I could go to Ranger games, people would talk about how they really liked that. And they would also complain about the heat, no doubt. Complaining about the heat was probably number one. The beauty of that ballpark was number two. And I'm just wondering, when people come to visit our new, Globe Life Park Field is, will they say great things about, or will they just say, it's nice they have air conditioning here because it's hot outside?
I think it's just going to be that, and I wonder, like, how many people are going to walk away saying it was air conditioning and I got pluckers. You know, like, that's a cool day for people that live around here.
Chuck Morgan gives a, puts it on a really good entertainment value. And I know Bruce is going to be doing that now,
but
too,
that has nothing to do with, like, the park itself, like, the construction of it. I agree, but I don't think people are going to walk away and say, God, what a nice park that was, is his concern.
Yeah.
Like, when you go to different places around our country, to if you're a baseball
When you're at Jerry
concert,
World, do you feel like, man, this is a nice stadium?
Or
do you
feel most like, people that come here, they say it's the nicest they've ever seen in their life.
I always, when I walk out of it, I go, man, that's a building. And that's how I feel about it. That's a really
in
big
a
room.
In a good way or a
it's
bad
a building.
Way? Okay.
It just feels like it feels like a building to me. And I want to love it because it's ours.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you can see it from our building right here, but it's a building.
I think with baseball parks, because you can make them so unique, you can't make a football stadium that unique, at least in my opinion. I don't know how unique you can make a football stadium. It has to be the same size. The stands almost have to be the same, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And in a baseball, because of the outfield, you can make it really different however you want to make the outfield.
Could the uniqueness come from, because this is one thing I do very much love, is that they finally put an entertainment venue around. That was like with Texas Live. That was the issue I've had with this ballpark for years, is there's nothing to do out there.
I really hope so, because a place like St. Louis, if you've ever been to a Cardinals game, after the game is over, people hang around the ballpark.
Same thing in Boston and Chicago.
Yeah.
And Wrigleyville.
So
that's what I liked about Colorado, too. When you got out of the Rocky Stadium, downtown, the city was right there.
Maybe that will happen. They're going to have to start building more. Texas Live is great. Texas Live isn't. When you think of Boston, Chicago, St. Louis, that's not enough. San Francisco people hang around. It's not enough to just have Texas Live.
By the way, Kevin, just saw a picture posted. Ryan Newman has been treated and released from Halifax Medical Center, and he's walking out holding his two daughters' hand.
That's excellent news. On Monday night, I got a message from Otolo who was like, hey, I think somebody just died at the Daytona 500. So to see that, like, 2 days later he's out of the hospital, that is tremendous news. With the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's cross talk with the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.